Welcome to the New Life Millbrook Weekly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message. For more information about this podcast or other resources, please visit nlmillbrook.com.
Well, I want to welcome all those this morning on Facebook, being able to watch us here this morning live or watch us recorded in another time. And, you know, technology is awesome. It can be a hindrance to you if you allow it to be, and it can be one of the greatest things that we've ever encountered at the same time. You know that there's a rental place that's free. So I guess it's rental, then, is it, if it's free? There's a free place in heaven where you can go and check out all of the stories that's in the Bible. I mean, you can watch it. Say, are you sure about that, Pastor? Well, they ought to be, if there's not. I mean, I want to be able to see the reenactment of David and Goliath. How about you? I want to see that the angels there at the birth of Jesus and proclaiming that peace has now come to earth. Amen? That what we've waited for and longed for and all of creation has yielded for and just moans for, I want to see that. You know, I just want to experience that. And you know what else is going to be there? You. That's right. The story of your life will be there. So guess what? This is not a Santa Claus type thing where you better be good. No, everything that you faced will be there. Every trial you've gone through, every shortcoming, everything that you've ever done will be is there. It's written in the book. And I imagine there's a video up there about it. And you know what? Carlene's over here laughing, saying, "Boy, I'm..." But it's going to show not only what has been, but could have been, and it's going to show you the end. No matter what takes place, in our lives as being believers, the glory goes to God, because there'll be at the end of it a cancellation of all sin. Amen. Glory to God. I don't know how you can't be happy about that. I mean, that's something to shout about. Amen. Glory to God. I just want to say thank you this morning to all the ladies and everybody that helped with the decorations up here. Huh? They're not quite through back here in the back, but they made a big jump out here. And all I had to do was get the trees in here. Glory. But Marsha and a lot of the ladies came in here, and I couldn't tell you all. If I started naming them, I'd leave somebody out, and then somebody would be mad at me. And it'd probably be several. But so we won't make mention of all the people whose names that helped out. But I will make mention that this Tuesday, on the 24th, is my anniversary. Kim's happy for me anyway. 47 years. Glory to God. Yes, sir, I got married at 3. I am now 50. No, Marcia and I have been married all our life, it seems like. High school sweethearts and go a long way back. Long way. Back in a whole nother millennium, I'm talking about way back. And 47 years. And you know what? Just take the day off, darling. But anyway, let's go ahead. And I do want to make mention, though, that we to continue lifting up the Turner family. Cletus is at home and right now, and he needs our prayers. And, of course, Miss Elaine needs our prayers and all the family members. And so why don't we just go ahead and let's pray for him right now. Lord, we just thank you for Brother Cletus. And, Lord, we understand as we get older that we get closer to coming to your house than our house. And, Lord, we just praise you right now, though, that he is at peace. Lord, we lift him up to you. We thank you for the time he's had here and the time that he's still got here. We thank you for his family. And, Lord, I praise you right now that you're faithful to all generations. You're faithful to the Turner family. We thank you for strength for Elaine, for the children, Cletus. And, Lord, we're still believing for your word of restoration in his life. We're people that believe in miracles. And we give you all the honor and glory in it. And Lord, we thank you for them right now. Lord, we lift up Jean to you today also, Horn. We thank you, Lord, for a speedy recovery on her wrist. Lord, I praise you right now that broken bone mends quickly in Jesus' name. And we praise you for it. Amen, amen. Glory to God. You know, we've got people out traveling this weekend, as always, and want to continue to lift those people up. They come back refreshed from their travels, and have several people, like I said, that's normally here today, that's out and about, along with a lot of other people. And being that this is Thanksgiving week, amen, amen, I know that if you've watched any news whatsoever, you've heard a lot of stuff on the news about Thanksgiving. But I just want you to know, it's for me and my house, there is no limit of people. There is going to be singing. There is going to be loud talking. There is going to be dancing. There is going to be sharing of food. And there by no way will we shut down. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to know that we're not stupid people. I do know that they have rules for stupid people. It's written on things that you buy, like hammers, where it says, do not hit yourself in the head with a hammer. We, all of our family, we practice cleanliness. And but when it comes to getting together, there is no limit on our family members. Amen? And none of us can sing very well, but we do sing. And we do dance, and we do get loud. And our Thanksgiving doesn't last an hour or two or three, but it lasts usually about 3-4 days. And so we that's till the leftovers run out. I mean, you know, what else do you do, right? And but how many of you realize that Thanksgiving Day doesn't commemorate a battle of any kind? It's nobody's particular birthday that we celebrate as a nation. And it's no particular anniversary date. It's a day that we celebrate Thanksgiving as a nation. And but what is Thanksgiving Day to you? What is it to you? Is it about being off of work and out of school for a few days? That'd be something to shout about and give thanks about. But you know, you need to ask yourself, is that what your Thanksgiving consists of? Is it about the turkey and all the great food? Well, that's going to be happening at our place, just like it's going to be happening in your place. But that's not what all Thanksgiving is about. So, but how about the football games? I mean, you got all the football games that's going to be running that weekend, and that's always good. And or maybe it's perhaps the nap after eating all that good food. Maybe that's what Thanksgiving is about, that good nap and after the big meal. Maybe it's the family and the friends all getting together and fellowshipping and laughing and talking about things that's happened and things that's going to happen, things that's in our past, things that's in our future, things that's going on right now. And maybe to some of you, it's about Black Friday, about going shopping, making the plans about going out and getting out and about and buying stuff or buying stuff online. Maybe it's just all of the above. It could be all of the above. And I find that then in a lot of times, these are all good things and people should enjoy all these things. But Thanksgiving is a day that we set aside to express our nation's thanks to our nation's God. Amen? It's a time that we express thanks to God. Usually at Thanksgiving, before we partake of the food and before it gets too cold, we can't be real long-winded on that particular day, but we give thanks around our table, things that that we're thankful for, you know, and that's good that we do that. How many of you know that only the United States and Canada and I believe the Philippines celebrate a day of Thanksgiving? They've got we're the only nations that have this day set aside to give thanks to God. I didn't know that. I read that on the internet, and y'all, just like me, you believe everything you read on the internet, right? But that's my understanding. Us in Canada and I think the Philippines are the only nations that have a day set aside to thank God for all that he's done. Amen. Back in the old days, back like in 1621, the traditional first Thanksgiving happened there at Plymouth Rock there. And has it ever occurred to you that not one of us has ever been as disadvantaged as that small handful of people was the day when they got here? I mean, they started out with nothing. But yet they set aside a day of thanksgiving to Almighty God. I don't know about you, but they left everything. They left their homes, their homeland, being all the way across an ocean. They had no government agency to help them. They loaded up what they could on a boat and came across an ocean, not having any idea really what it was going to be like. They brought seeds to grow, but yet they got here late. They never experienced a winter like they have here in Massachusetts, seeing that England's weather is a little different. They had no way of transportation except their feet. Wherever they went, they walked. Maybe they could get a horse. They had no stores to go buy food in. The only food they had was something they went out and scavengered up or hunted or grew themselves. So their first crop when they got here was so late that they didn't really have a whole lot of food because they didn't have time to plant. They didn't have any money, and if they did, there wasn't any place to spend it at, you know. No shopping centers, no shopping of any type of anything. They didn't have any telephones. I know some of you young people may have a hard time believing that, but they had no cell phones, no computers, no iPads, or no other ways to communicate with anybody back home. Here they were thousands of miles away right here. They didn't have a health care program. And because of it, no doctors and hospitals, half of them died that first winter. They didn't have any entertainment such as TV, Netflix, games, or sporting events to attend. But they did have four of the greatest human resources that we could have: creativity, moral fiber, a willingness to work, and a never-ending faith in our God. A never-ending faith in our God. Amen. In 1789, George Washington made this public proclamation. I'm going to read it to you. It says, this proclamation says, and I quote, "By the President of the United States of America, a proclamation, whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the province of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor. And whereas both houses of Congress," did you hear that? "Both houses of Congress have by their joint committee requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by the acknowledging with grateful hearts the many signal favors of Almighty God." I wonder at times how many people even know what Thanksgiving Day really is about. You know, I think it would do good, especially in our country, especially for believers, to understand what Thanksgiving is all about. Because if we don't understand what Thanksgiving is about, we're liable to mess up in a major way. If you got your Bibles, turn with me over to Deuteronomy chapter 8. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, I'm just going to go ahead and take the time to read this. I think we need to. Starting in verse 1, it says, "All the commandments which I command thee this day shall you observe and do." Say, observe.
Observe.
To do. "That we may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore unto our fathers. Thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee, being 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep His commandments or no. And He humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that He might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God doth man live. Thy clothes waxed not upon thee, neither did thy feet swell, these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thy heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore, thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in His ways and to fear Him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land." Say, a good land.
Yes.
A land of brooks of water, of fountains and deeps that spring out of the valleys and hills. A land of wheat and barley, and vines and fig trees and pomegranates. A land of olive oil and honey. A land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron, and out of those hills thou mayest dig brass. Sounds like America, doesn't it? Then in verse 10 it says, and when thou hast eaten and are full, then shalt thou bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware. Beware that thou forgetteth not the Lord thy God, in not keeping his commandments and his judgment and his statutes which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and are full, and hast built goodly houses, and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks have multiplied, and thy silver and gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through the great terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of a rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee and that he might prove thee to do good at the latter end. That'd be us. And thou shalt say in thy heart, my power and my might of my hand hath gotten me all this wealth. Thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore unto his father, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day, that you shall perish as the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall you perish, because you would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. You know what? We are still here, a remnant of those people. And the Lord will not destroy our country as long as we're here. You do have a voice, and it goes beyond the election polls. It goes every single day in giving him thanks for what he has done in your life, what he's done in my life, what he's done in our forefathers' life, what he's done in our country. Amen? And we need to be thankful and remember those very things. But yet, there seems like a lot of people forget. And he said, beware lest we forget. Beware lest we forget what God has done, where he's brought us from. I want to read to you something I found the other day. And I thought, wow. I never thought I'd see this. This is an article written by a 26-year-old college student, whose name I won't make mention of, who's in grad school for an MBA. And I think, what a great perspective that she had, or has. And I'm going to read it to you. It's a 26-year-old, so you younger people, don't get mad at me. Y'all take heed to what this lady is saying, as well as us older people. It says, my generation is blind to the prosperity around us. I'm sitting in a small coffee shop near Nokomis, Florida, trying to think of what to write about. I scroll through my news feed on my phone, looking at the latest headlines of presidential candidates calling for policies to fix the so-called injustices of capitalism. I put my phone down and continue to look around. I see people talking freely, working on their MacBooks, ordering food that they get in an instant, seeing cars go by outside, and it dawned on me. We live in the most privileged time, in the most prosperous nation, and we've become completely blind to it. Amen. Vehicles, food, technology, freedom to associate with whom we choose. These things are so ingrained in our American way of life, we don't give them a second thought. we're so well off here in the United States that our poverty level begins 31 times above the global average. 31 times. Virtually no one in the United States is considered poor by global standards. Yet, in a time when we can order a product off of Amazon with one click and have it at our doorstep the next day, we are unappreciative, unsatisfied, and ungrateful. Our unappreciation is evident as the popularity of socialist policies among my generation continue to grow. Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez recently said to Newsweek, talking about the millennial generation, an entire generation which is now becoming one of the largest electorates in America, came of age and never saw American prosperity. Never saw American prosperity. Let that sink in. That's what it says here. When I first read that statement, I thought to myself, that was quite literally the most entitled and factual illiterate thing I've ever heard in my 26 years on earth. Many young people agree with her, which is entirely misguided. My generation is being indoctrinated by a mainstream narrative to actually believe we have never seen prosperity. I know this firsthand. I went to college. Let's just say I didn't have the popular opinion, but I digressed. Why then, with all the overwhelming evidence around us, evidence that I can see sitting here at the coffee shop, do we not view this as prosperity? We have people who are dying to get into our country, people around the world destitute and truly impoverished. Yet we have a younger generation convinced that they've never seen prosperity, and as a result, we elect some politicians who are dead set on taking steps towards abolishing capitalism. Why? The answer is this. My generation has only seen prosperity. We have no contrast. We didn't live in a Great Depression or live through two world wars, the Korean War, the Vietnam War, or we didn't see the rise and fall or socialism and communism. Yeah. We don't know what it's like to live without the internet, without cars, without smartphones. We don't have a lack of prosperity problem. We have an entitlement problem, an ungratefulness problem, and it's spreading like the plague. Take my hat off to her. Amen. But how many of you know, whether you're 20 or whether you're 80, this applies to all of us. Every single one of us. How soon can we forget the blessings and the prosperity that God has bestowed upon our country and upon us? I remember when Heidi was 5 years old, when we were going through a rough time, we began serving the Lord, and I saw in the scriptures that we would tithe, that we're to tithe. And for 8 previous years, we had tithed to the devil. That's right. We gave more than 10%, actually, probably to drugs and alcohol on a weekly basis. The lust of our flesh, and had no problem with that. And now I'm sitting there and I'm having to answer myself these questions that myself came up with. Well, how am I going to tithe? I don't have enough money. And the thought came, you had money to tithe to the devil, and that didn't come from God. That came from down in here, out of me. And I began to meditate on it and think about it. And I said, well, that's true. I found a way to do it then. I'll do it now. And it came to a place where she didn't have food to eat. Neither did we. I mean, absolutely nothing. Not even a dented can of beets, a cup of rice, or molded bread. We had nothing. Yet I had $10 in my pocket. And it was Sunday morning. Will I give God what's His? And I had to wrestle with the fact that my daughter may not eat that day. My little 5-year-old girl. And I thought this thought. You know, there's a lot of kids around this world that won't eat today. And so be it, if she goes without food, I'm going to serve my God. And we did so. But we didn't go without food. God gave us means to eat. Somebody came up afterward, not having a clue who it was. They didn't know anything about us and what was going on. They said, "What y'all doing for lunch?" I said, "Nothing." But they just had no clue what nothing really meant. We meant nothing. And they said, "Won't y'all go out to eat with us? My treat." I said, "Okay." So we went. The next Sunday, I'm standing in the mirror getting ready for church. The same scenario all over again. And I heard myself say again, there's a lot of people around this world that won't eat today. And if she don't eat, it won't be my fault. I'm going to do what God said. I'm going to tithe. If I can give to the devil his tithe, when I served him, I can give God mine. So we did it. We got to church. Same scenario. Somebody came up, didn't know us, somebody different. Said, "What y'all doing for lunch?" Nothing. Guess what? Nothing became something. We went at home at their house to eat. She didn't do without. Third week, the same thing. Fourth week, the same thing. The fifth week, I'm standing up there, and I'm looking. Nothing has changed financially in our lives, and I'm standing there looking in the mirror, and I thought, I wonder where we're going to eat today. I didn't think about the fact she may not eat. I wondered where we were going to eat. I knew we were going to eat. The sixth week, the same thing. You see, we have a mentality that everybody is like we are, but yet there's people all around the world that don't get to eat one, two. They may miss a week worth of food. And we think, oh, it's bad if we miss three meals, if we don't get three times to eat in one day. Peter, when he was small, was going to bed one night. We'd been busy in the daytime, had an early dinner and didn't have lunch that day. And he began to cry. Now, he wasn't in his 30s like now. I mean, he was just a little kid. And Marcia said, "What are you crying about?" I said, we didn't get to eat lunch. You just got through eating dinner. Yeah, but we didn't have lunch. So he thought he was supposed to eat three times a day, or four, or five, but three meals. But that's not reality. It's something we do here, but it's not what happens around the world and since the beginning of time. And we need to check ourselves of the blessings that we have. Do we take them for granted? I know that being raised in a big family and during the 60s, that my parents, they always reminded us that there were starving children in China. Am I the only house that was being spoken of? Because my thoughts sometimes when we had that spaghetti put out on that table again was, well, how about shipping that to them in? I didn't want it. But it's amazing that when we look in the Bible, we find the word thanks 75 times, thanksgiving 28 times, thank 27 times, thankful 3 times, 2 times we find thanksgiving, thankfulness 1 time. The word thanks is used in some form 139 times. I believe that the Lord is saying to us that we need to become thankful people. People of gratitude. Amen? How many of you know we are good at giving God our request? Huh? But how often do we stop to thank Him? I want to spend some time this morning, a short period of time, about being thankful. How many of you know that in Psalms 100, I'm going to read this to you quickly. If you pull that up, Psalms 100, verse 1. It says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Is it up here? Nope, not yet. Okay. Psalms 100, verse 1. Just in case you've got your Bibles out there, y'all can pull that up. It says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Notice in verse 1 there, he said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. All ye lands. Doesn't say all ye lands that believe in God. It says all ye lands. And he ends it in verse 5. It was saying to all generations. So this wasn't written for just one generation of people, or for one race of people, or one nation of people, but was written for everybody that inhabits this earth, that has ever been here or ever will be. We're all to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And you know, when it says make a joyful noise unto the Lord, it's not talking about just being joyful in this and that. Matter of fact, the NIV says shout unto the Lord. And the reason it said shout unto the Lord was not so that you could be loud, but it was talking about, and this whole expression of this is, let your whole being from down deep inside, let it come forth praising God. Amen. And thankful to God for all that he's done for us. Don't let it just be words that fall off your lips, but let it come from the deepest, darkest places inside of your very being. Let it all come up, saying, thank you, Lord. And it says, serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. And do so with gladness. Well, I got to do this. I got to do that. The Bible says, serve him with gladness. Come before him. Come into his presence with singing. Know you that the Lord, he is God. And then he wants to clarify that. It is he that made us, not we ourselves. Don't ever get to thinking that you're some big hotshot based on what you did, your smartness, your education, your means. It wasn't you, it was God. Amen. We're his people and the sheep of his pasture. We don't even belong to ourselves. And where we stand, sleep, and live belongs to him. He said, enter. Enter into his gates. Come through. Don't stay outside the gates. Enter into the gates. Come on in here to the throne room. And as you do, come with thanksgiving. Come with thanksgiving. Come into his courts with praise. And when you do so, be thankful unto him and bless his name. Come in there and say, Lord, your character is without reproach. And I'm coming in here thankful, for you've never forsaken the righteous. And you come in thanksgiving with your request be made known unto him, knowing that it's the deal's done, it's met. Don't come in whining and complaining and wondering, is God going to do it? Or can he do it? No, it's already been accomplished. And be thankful and bless his character. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. Say that with me. The Lord is good. And his mercy is everlasting. And his truth endureth to all generations. I choose to believe that. And I found it so in my life, in my family's life. This is a psalm that everyone before us, after us, and especially for us, need to take heed to. Grab a hold of it and say, this is for me. Let me ask you something. Has God ever solved a problem that you had that seemed overwhelming? Anybody here? Yeah. Has He ever given you direction in your time of need, of not knowing where to go? Has He ever granted you a blessing that you know only could come from God? Mm-hmm. Can you shout amen? Amen? Glory to God. The point isn't about the volume of your voice. It's about coming from the very depths of your being. There is no phrase, not a true phrase, of silent praise or quiet thanksgiving. You don't hear about that in the Bible. It's loud because it comes from down inside. How do we show God appreciation? What can we give Him that's not that He doesn't already have? We can't buy Him anything. He doesn't need anything that we have. What can we do? You know, it's helpful to understand this Hebrew word originally meant a glad shout, such as loyal subjects might utter when the king appears among them, the emphasis being on the gladness. We're happy to see the Lord. We're happy to be in His presence. It's not a, well, we got to go to church, got to go do this, got to go do that. No, gladness about coming into His presence. It would be accurate to express this idea by the people saying, we're happy to come into Your presence because we're happy with You, God. We're happy with You. I'm satisfied with You, God. And if we're happy with God, we ought to share that same gladness with others that we come in contact with. Amen? We're a joyful people, and we don't need to be negative people. How many of you know that we all can be negative at times? Be quiet, Marcia. Well, I'm going to tell you that I have to deal with problems on a regular basis. I mean, as far as I can remember back, it seems like when you're in charge, guess what? People bring you problems. It's just the way it is. If you own a business, people bring you problems. If you're a teacher, kids bring you problems. If you're a boss, they bring you problems. If you're a daddy, they bring you problems. If you're a mama, they definitely bring you problems. If you're the older sibling, they bring you problems. So we all can have an opportunity to be negative. But how many of you ever heard The Pessimistic Creed by Wade Hughes? Anybody here ever heard it? If not, you're fixing to. It says, why rejoice in sunshine? It'll only turn dark clouds and rain. Besides that, sunshine can hurt your eyes. More than that, it can cause skin cancer. Why should I smile? Smile might send the wrong message to a friend. A frown will burn more calories, we all know. Smiles might wrinkle my face. I don't want to advertise for free for the dentist because his fee was much too high to start with. If I smile, everyone will wonder, what am I thinking about? Why should I give a friend a flower? Flowers might cause an infection of my sinus glands. Flowers cost so much, and you can't eat them. The beauty of a flower will soon fade. A silk flower will only gather dust. Besides all that, I didn't get a flower today. Why should I whistle, hum, or sing? I don't know the song. Song's too slow. Song's too fast. How can we sing in a strange land? I can't sing. Someone may think I'm glad. Why should I go to school, Sunday school or church? You know, I know more than the teacher. He just stands there and reads out of a book. The preacher screams and wags his arm. He preaches an everlasting gospel. The preacher, all he wants is money. I gave $2 3 weeks ago. Ain't that enough? All there are at church are a bunch of hypocrites. Why should I encourage and say nice things to others? If I brag on someone, they'll get the big head. And pride always goes before the fall. I remember something negative 22 years ago about them. You want to hear it? It's always good to be realistic and pessimistic, because the optimist is wrong much of the time. I think it's much easier just to murmur, grumble, and complain. Praise ain't in all that is cracked up to be. I like the grumbler's corner. Can't you see there's something wrong with everybody but me and thee? And sometimes I worry about thee. How many of you know the way to overcome negative is to focus on Jesus? Amen? And Jesus saved us from all sin. Say all sin. That should make us all glad people. Amen? Should make us glad. He said, serve the Lord with gladness. And just as it is when we sing or make a shout unto the Lord, we do it from our very core of who we are. So's the idea come with the Hebrew word worship, because it means serving with all of our being. So when it says serve the Lord with gladness, guess what? We're to serve Him with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our being. Amen? And do so with gladness. How many of you know, like the people of Israel, we tend to worship God for what He's done for us rather than simply who He is? Oh, Lord, we name all the things He's done for us, but how about just the fact of who He is? God, I just love You for who You are. I don't want anything. I just want to hang out here for a while. I don't need anything. I don't want to bring You a problem. Not because You're too busy or anything. I just want to hang out with You. My dog shows me more respect like that than I do towards God. He just wants to hang with me all the time. I can't walk to another room without him getting up and following me. Should have named him Shadow. But I'm going to give you something here in just a few seconds. I'm going to read to you something by a fellow named George Smith. You've probably heard this before. And it's okay for you to shout if you want to. It's okay to say amen. It's okay to just jump up in your seat if you'd like. Because if you don't, I question, do you know God? It's called My God Is. He is the first and last, the beginning and the end. He is the keeper of creation and the creator of all. He is the architect of the universe and the manager of all times. He always was, always is, always will be, unmoved, unchanged, undefeated, and never undone. He was bruised and brought healing. He was pierced and eased pain. He was persecuted and brought freedom. He was dead and brought life. He is risen and brings power. He reigns and brings peace. The world can't understand Him. The armies can't defeat Him. The schools can't explain Him. And the leaders can't ignore Him. Herod couldn't kill Him. The Pharisees couldn't confuse Him. And the people couldn't hold Him. Nero couldn't crush Him. Hitler couldn't silence Him. The New Age can't replace Him. And Dr. Phil can't explain Him away. He is life, love, longevity, and Lord. He is goodness. He is kindness. He is gentleness. He is God. He is holy. He is righteous. He is mighty. He is powerful. He is pure. He is always right. His word is eternal. His will is unchanging, and His mind is upon me. He is my Redeemer. He is my Savior. He is my guide, and He is my peace. He is my joy. He is my comforter. He is my Lord, and He rules my life. I serve Him because His bond is love. His burden is light. His goal for me is abundant life. I follow Him because He is wisdom of the wise, the power of the powerful, the Ancient of Days, the ruler of rulers, the leader of leaders, the overseer of the overcomers, and the sovereign Lord of all, and was, and is to come. And if that seems impressive to you, try this one for size. His goal is a relationship with me. He'll never leave me. He never forsakes me. He never misleads me. He never forgets me. He never overlooks me. He never canceled my appointment in his appointment book. When I fall, he lifts me up. When I fail, he forgives me. When I'm weak, he is strong. When I'm lost, he is my way. When I'm afraid, he is my courage. When I stumble, he steadies me. When I'm hurt, he heals me. When I'm broken, he mends me. When I'm blind, he leads me. When I'm hungry, he feeds me. When I face trial, he's with me. When I face persecution, he shields me. When I face problem, he confronts me. When I face loss, he provides for me. When I face death, he carries me home. He is everything for everybody, everywhere, every time, in every way. He is God. He is faithful. I am his. He is mine. My Father is in heaven, and he can whip the father of this world. So if you're wondering why I feel so secure, understand this. He said it, and that settles it. God's in control, and I'm on his side, and that means all is well with my soul. Every day is a blessing, for I've experienced Jesus. Glory to God. Woo! That's my God. And that's your God. And if we've got nothing to be thankful for, I'll make you a copy of that so you can take it home. Because you need to read that and read that and read that until you get it down inside of you who God is. This is my God. Say, this is my God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We serve a supernatural God. Acknowledge that the Lord is your God. He made us. And we're his. He's in control. Did you wake up this morning wondering if the sun was going to be shining? No. Did you wake up and wonder if there was going to be enough air to breathe? No. God takes care of so many things, and we don't give him thanks for these things. We just take it for granted. God made us inside and out. He made you the way he wanted you. You don't need to change how you look. Accept it. Know that you're his prize. We serve a supernatural God. We're his sheep. We're his people. We're the sheep of his pasture. He is my personal shepherd. And he's better than the best bodyguard, the best president, the best leader that we've ever had. Amen?
Amen.
And he leads us to his pasture, for his pasture is his world. It belongs to him. It says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise and bless his name. Bless his name. How thankful are we about the character of God? We ought to be able to shout and tell everybody about God's character. In the Old Testament, the temple symbolizes the presence of God. Now we know, being in the New Testament, that the presence of God is everywhere, and it's in us. It no longer exists somewhere else. It's in us. It's with us on the highway. It's with us at work. It's with us at home. It's with us every moment of our life. And we are to acknowledge that our God is supernatural. Our God is ever presence. And we will come into his presence with fullness of joy and come into his presence with thanksgiving in our heart, in his courts with praise of all that he's done. God always remains the same. For the Lord is good, and his unfailing love continues forever. And his faithfulness continues to every generation. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures forever. I heard a story about a fellow who was walking in the city, and he heard somebody singing so loud that he could hear it above the cars and the horns and the people all around him. His voice was so distinguishable that he could hear. He didn't know where it was coming from, but he could hear. And so when he located the man, he saw him and he went up to him to see, what is this guy singing about? And he noticed that the man had no legs and was pushing himself through the crowd in a wheelchair. And he called up to him and he says, I want you to know, friend, that I hear you singing. And I didn't know that it was going to come from a person whose condition gives everybody else a lift. And he answered with a grateful smile and he said, when I stopped looking at what I had lost and began concentrating on all that I had left, I found much for which I could rejoice and be happy.
Amen. That's the truth.
I got a friend who's a pastor in Tennessee. His name is Alan Kreider. He had lots of things going, had money, several different businesses, big church, things were going good, and he had a stroke. And basically he died. He did die. And he came back. And he was crippled to some degree, and now he's gotten a lot better over the years, probably about 6 to 7 years he's gotten better. And I was talking with him one day, and it was hard to understand, but we were talking, and he says, you know, I can't do what I used to could do, but didn't do. Wow. He said, I used to do this and that because it was a thing to do. He said, but if I could but just run, I'd run for God every day. If I could just shout, I would shout for God every day, all day. If I could witness better, I would witness every day and all day. I can't do now because of this thing what I wanted to do and could have done all along. And I believe because his heart was that way, that's why he's turning around and now he can preach again and do different things, because what's in his heart is greater than what his body is experiencing. And because of that, what's in his heart will manifest itself in his body.
Amen.
Amen? Can we be thankful this morning for God's mercy? Can we? Well, I want to end with one particular scripture, and I want you to join part in it. Your part's pretty easy. I am going to require you to say something, but it's not hard. Okay? It's not hard. In Psalms 136, we find a particular psalm here that's for everybody. It's a responsive song, which was first sung, the first part of it was sung by the Levites, and the second part was sung by the congregation. So I'll start with the first part, and you can do the second part. It doesn't have a title in Hebrew, nor of any other versions. This psalm was written while they were in captivity. How about that? And the author is unknown. But it goes this way, and I want you to do this part with me. I found that in my studies that it talks about God's mercy. So it says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. And you say, for his mercy endureth forever. I want you to know something about this mercy. It's hasid, and we don't have time to take a lesson on that and to go about talking about it. But hasid is not for just now. It's also for the coming age. And when you understand that in the Hebrew, and when during my studies, we see even with King David, he always referred to that the mercies of God, the hasid of God, was forever. It was everlasting. That means it's for you and it's for me. This is our God. So I'm going to begin to read this, and I want you to follow along with this and help me out some, okay? Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
For his mercy endures forever.
Oh, give thanks to the God of gods.
For his mercy endures forever.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords.
For his mercy endures forever.
To him alone doeth great wonders.
For his mercy endures forever.
To him by wisdom made the heavens.
For his mercy endures forever.
To him that stretches out the earth above the waters.
For his mercy endures.
To him that made the great lights.
For his mercy endures.
The sun to rule by day.
For his mercy endures.
The moon and stars to rule by night.
For his mercy endures.
To him that smote the Egypt in their firstborn.
For his mercy endures.
And brought out Egypt from among them. With a strong hand, with a stretched out arm.
For his mercy endures.
To him which divided the Red Sea into parts.
For his mercy endures.
And made Israel to pass through the midst of it.
For his mercy endures forever.
Overthrew Pharaoh and the host in the Red Sea.
For his mercy endures forever.
To him which led his people through the wilderness.
For his mercy endures forever.
To him which smote his great kings.
For his mercy.
And slew famous kings. Shilon, king of the Amorites, and Og, the king of the Bashan, and gave their land for a heritage, even a heritage unto Israel, his servant, who remembereth us in our low estate, and hath redeemed us from our enemies, who giveth food to all flesh. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord God of heaven. Amen, amen. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you today that your mercy does endure forever, that your chesed passes our understanding of the word, but we know it's a covenant word, that it can't be separated, that love and steadfastness your strength, only those three can really tell the word chesed. So, Lord, this morning, we have much to be thankful. So, Lord, I pray for the people today. Now declare blessings upon them. Blessings from on high. Lord, the greatest blessing is an awareness that you're God. That you are God and not us. That it's because of you we're blessed. We'll not forget, as it says in Deuteronomy, but we'll remember that you're the God that gives us wealth so that your covenant can be established in all the earth. Lord, I thank you for those that will be traveling this week and that are already traveling. Safety for each and every one of them. And Lord, I thank you and I lift up to you our country that is divided in so many ways that we didn't know it was possible. And I lift up our country and I ask you, Lord, to unite us back together again as one. One serving you. I lift up our leaders. I thank you, Lord, that they come to a place where they realize this, that it's not about them, but about our God. Lord, I lift up our pastors throughout the land. And I ask you, Lord, to strengthen them to where they'll have the strength to stand up in their pulpits and declare that Jesus is Lord. And Lord, I thank you for the Turner family and healing and strength for them. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Have a great week.